My eyes are closed. All I can sense is the music. It's a mixture of techno and tribal music blasting through a speaker system. I'm on an ecstatic dance event. I'm feeling relaxed. I'm feeling energized. I'm opening my eyes. Around me, I see a few dozen people dancing in the jungle of Thailand. And while I'm looking around, I see a girl looking at me. And I look back at her, but immediately I look away. And I'm asking myself, why did you do that? But I already know the answer. And it all started 2 years earlier. I lived in Berlin at that time. I moved together with a friend. We just freshly moved there. I started business coaching, and one of the participants, she was a coach, she told me that I have some people-pleasing tendencies. She could apparently tell that after 40 minutes of talking to me. And I was intrigued because I was like, what do you mean with like people-pleasing, nice guy tendencies? Like, I don't know what that exactly means. I remember exactly starting to Google what the symptoms are and what that means and if I can relate to that or not. At that specific point, I was feeling very lonely. I'm very sad. I was close to 30 years old. And I was thinking to myself, I want to have a family at one point. What are you doing? Like, you're sitting here every day inside your apartment, trying to work on something which you don't know if it will work out. You kind of trust in it, but you don't meet any people. You for sure don't meet any women. And at that point, I have been single for 8 years. So I was actually asking myself the question, how can I go from where I am now to having a family at one point? Because my vision is that I want to have a family, but the reality looked so different that I didn't even see the chance of building a family. Because when you don't meet women, when you don't meet people, how are you supposed to find a partner, right? And because of that pain, I decided to dive deeper into the people-pleasing and nice guy patterns and try to find out if that's something which resonates with me. And now I want to tell you a little bit about what I discovered about myself and if you can relate to that. And I would love if you can relate to one or two or all of the patterns which I discovered in my own life, if you could write that down in the comments. Because when we have the awareness and take the ownership of these patterns, that's the first step to improve your life. So the first pattern, it's like I notice myself when I walk down the streets that every time I make eye contact with someone, I break the eye contact and usually I look down. And I ask myself, why is that? Like all the time, especially on the street outside. And I figured out what is the messaging in my head. What is the thought, the actual thought in my head that is kind of triggering that behavior? And it was different for men and women. I did it for both, but like for the women, it meant I don't want to be the creepy guy. I don't want to be the guy that stares at them. I don't want to be, you know, make them feel uncomfortable. It was only about me thinking I'm probably a creep even if I look 1 second at a woman, which I never realized until that point. And for the men, it was actually similar, but a little bit different. So for the men, it was I looked in the eyes and I looked down, but it wasn't because I didn't want to make them feel uncomfortable. It was because I'm afraid of conflict. I don't want to make them aggressive. I don't want to, you know, think maybe, you know, there were those comments maybe for you too when you grew up, like, oh, that's gay, why you look at me, stuff like that. So I don't want to trigger any of that in the other person. So I'm afraid of conflict and I just look down. Me being at that ecstatic dance event, I kind of realized I want to dance with others. I would have loved to dance with someone together, but the first step to build a connection with someone is eye contact. And I broke it every single time when I looked at somebody. That was mind-blowing to me, to be honest. And just questioning why that automatic habit kind of happened was the first step to understanding who am I right now? And what's the difference between my true self, what I really want, and all these patterns and fears and everything which is layered above that. Another really big one for nice guys is that they're being cut off from their emotions. And you hear it all the time from men, like in general, that they're not emotional, they don't need that as much, women are way more emotional. And while it's true that hormones can support the progress, and while women go through this 30-day cycle, men have the same emotions. Like, we also have fear, we have anger, we have sadness, we have joy, but we never learn how to name them, how to feel them. We never learn that there's a sensation coming with an emotion in the body. We never, like, when was the last time you cried? I didn't cry through my 20s. Like, I can, even if I was devastated and I was in some really shitty and sad situations, like, I didn't cry. And I remember it took me one time, 1 year after my grandpa died. I didn't cry after 1 year and he drank like a lot of alcohol. And that released it for me. But it's so stuffed down, and that's ultimately not good. The next really big one was that I'm afraid to communicate needs, wants, and boundaries. Especially boundaries, but also needs. Like, it manifested in so many situations. For example, still until this point, when I'm texting, especially women, but also maybe my boss, you know, whom I'm working for, and I text them and I ask something from them, or I set a boundary, I said, like, no, that's not cool. I have this immense fear inside of myself that they're going to be mad at me, that they're going to shut me down. And usually it never happens. It's just, like, a lot of times it's actually a good response. It's like, oh yeah, I understand. But still, every single time I get a voice memo, for example, back from them, I'm looking at the voice memo, and before listening, I'm afraid to listen to it. And I only could start to uncover that because I started to feel and be more aware of my emotions and what I'm actually feeling right now. So I was like, why am I afraid of the response of someone? That has to come from within me, right? It's not something what the other person is in control of. It's purely inside of me. So if that's you and you have that with, like, your girlfriend, your wife, any partner, or also just friends or colleagues, like when you set a boundary, when you say no to something, or you don't even say no because you're always like, I don't know, I'm enjoying spending time with them, they always make the plans, I'm just taking along, I don't have a problem with that. Ask yourself, is it because is that your true self? Do you really have no opinion, or is that just fear holding you back? One of the core fears for nice guys is to be seen or to be too much. Oh, I'm too much when I'm texting someone, when I'm texting a need, a one, this is where they are connected. Or maybe it's too much. Maybe the other person is right and it's all about their boundaries, all about their needs, all about their wants. And I don't even know my needs, my wants, my boundaries most of the time. I'm just like cater to theirs. And that is really scary to find out at first. It's like, because the whole identity for nice guys is built around, oh no, I'm a good person. And that's who I am. And I'm just taking along. And that's nice. But it's covered up by all these fears basically holding us down and holding us down in life too. Because when you can't express needs and wants and boundaries, you cannot express romantic interest. How many women have you actually approached in your past, or how many women have approached you? For a lot of people pleasers, and myself included, when I think back, all of my relationships or all of my romantic partners, they always have approached me, and I never approached them because I was way too scared. I was, again, scared to be toxic, to be the creep, to hurt them. And I'm a good guy. I don't want to hurt anybody. So if I'm not going to talk to them, if I'm not going to reach out, then I can't hurt anybody, right? And the logic itself is kind of okay, but then if you never reach out, how do you get to have a family, maybe? How do you get to have a girlfriend? So it's really asking yourself the question, what do I want? Which most people pleasers never do. A lot of nice guys also cover up their negative feelings with humor. And I had a really nice experience in January where I went to an embodied man retreat and was about like stepping into your body and feeling more than thinking, which we're usually pretty good at, just thinking. And we did this exercise where someone had to come closer. We could like do this. They would come closer. And then we said, stop when it's like too close. And we could play with that, but we should focus on the inside. You can test it with a friend once. And it was so amazing for me to see that every time, like the person became like, was too close to myself. Basically, I was like, I'm not feeling comfortable. Like something changes from like 2 meters away to like 1 meter away to like half a meter away. And most of the time I'm like, smile. I had to smile. I had to I used humor kind of in a way to de-escalate, because nice guys don't like conflict at all. And that's also the reason we use humor in a way of like de-armoring the situation and like making fun of it. And a lot of people do this, especially from things they're ashamed of, right? When it's about sexuality, there's so many stupid sex jokes, dick jokes, whatever, because people are afraid to talk about it deep down, but and they use humor to make fun of it and shut the conversation down. And that happens with a lot of other things and a lot of other situations too. Nice guys are also very afraid to take initiative. We all know the typical situation, like woman asks, what do you want to eat? Man is like, oh, I don't care. You decide. And then women getting like frustrated at some point because they always have to decide and you never take the decision. My dad was like that. And I also was like that. And I had to ask myself, why is that at some point? And while I was digging deeper into what the thought process behind that is, I figured out I'm actually just afraid that the other person will dislike my opinion. So I have this one story where I just moved to Berlin, right? And I had a good friend. We'd known each other for years. And I wanted to meet up with her in a cafe. And my first reaction was like, oh, let me ask her what kind of cafe she wants to go, because she knows Berlin better. She lives here since a few years. I just moved here. And then I was like, no, okay, what? That is the old Fred. What would the new Fred do? And I told myself, okay, let's make a recommendation, right? Just search for a coffee place and make a recommendation. I was feeling so afraid of making that recommendation. I told myself, okay, then do two recommendations. She still can choose one. But why was I so afraid? It was because I was afraid that she wouldn't like it. She would be mad at me. She would be like, oh man, this place sucks. And I would have been a bad person. So I'd rather not take initiative to avoid the whole situation. It's like, oh, you can decide, because then you definitely get something you want. But in real life, that's not how it works, especially in relationships. That's what builds a lot of frustration for the woman and in the relationship in general. Because we're not ready, we're not feeling comfortable to express our needs and our wants and our boundaries, how is a woman supposed to feel safe with you? Another very typical behavior from nice guys is being in the lone wolf mode, trying to figure out everything by themselves. Not asking for help, especially when it comes to sexuality and stuff like that. A lot of times, like, there's no one you can talk to. Like, so many men say they don't have any close friends also to actually talk to about their feelings, about what they're going through, about their experiences. They have to try to figure it out by themselves, and maybe with YouTube videos and now AI. And that leads to a feeling of isolation. Like, this is where the male loneliness epidemic comes from. Like, we're all in lone wolf mode and trying to figure it out by ourselves because we're too afraid also to be seen and to show us, because we're so afraid of opening up, because in the past we got shut down. So talking about these patterns, I would love to know if you can relate to one or two or all of them, and let me know down in the comments. I would love to know. So how would a world look like where we don't have these patterns, where we can return to our true selves? We live in community. We have people to talk to. We have a close friend circle, or maybe one close friend where we are talking through things which are happening through our life, who helps us co-regulate, and we don't have to do everything by ourselves. We can ask for support, and we're not feeling ashamed or super anxious to ask for that. Everybody would be connected to their emotions, actually feeling them. But most people don't. So what happens is they just go to Pornhub, watching porn, gambling, video games, drug addictions, alcohol, all that kind of stuff. It's just a means to like numbing out and numbing from the emotions. Social media, probably the biggest one right now. So if you catch yourself the next time not knowing what you want to do, and then just from a habit grabbing to your phone, stop for a second and ask yourself, like, do I feel something right now? Do I feel uncomfortable? Do I feel like some pain? Do I feel some like sensation? Do I feel like a constriction in my chest maybe? Is there some fear? Am I afraid of something in the future? Because in the past, so many people, like, we didn't have all these distractions and people were actually moving through these emotions. But nowadays, everything is getting shut down because there's Netflix, there's all the streaming services, there's social media, and even only with those, it would be enough to distract you for a lifetime. But nobody looks back at the end of his life and says like, oh yeah, you remember that one Netflix movie in 2025 that changed my life. I mean, there are some pretty good movies, but you know, it's usually about family, it's about connection, it's not about the materialistic things, but it's about the feeling connected, feeling safe things. In a perfect world where nice guys work through all these things, they would be able to having really deep relationships. Because when you are able to open up to your partner, that's where trust builds. Obviously, your partner also has to do some work and has to be able to open up to you. But we can only work on ourselves, right? And open up first. And being able to lead ourselves first, being able to feel our emotions within our own life, that's the step to then leading a partnership and being in a partnership of like, okay, I feel sad right now and I want to express that. And it doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It doesn't mean that I'm a bad person. It's just how it is right now and how can we deal with that? And I'm frustrated with that. And I'm disappointed with that. And then the other person can express. And it's such a beautiful way to build deep connection. For a lot of people, they don't know what to do. It's like a lot of like, they're going more distant over time. The only way to connect, they know, is sex. And if they don't have that, and they're not really talking about that, they're just losing themselves in everyday life and never coming back to that feeling of connectedness. And connectedness starts with vulnerability. So vulnerability with others starts with vulnerability with yourself. Being true, being honest with yourself, how you're feeling right now, starting to practice that. In a perfect world, you would know what you want, what you feel, and you would go for it. For example, it's a very basic thing, like men are attracted to women and women are attracted to men. So as a man, when you see a woman you're attracted to, you can go talk to her. You're not a creep. You're only a creep and needy if your thoughts are going way too far, or like you have bad intentions, which you probably don't have because you're a nice guy and you don't want to hurt anybody, right? Not being afraid of just approaching and changing the question from, oh my God, I want to impress her. How can I do that? What about her needs, her wants, her boundaries? I don't have needs, wants, and boundaries. Instead of doing that, what if you change the question towards like, how do I feel when I'm with her? How do I want to feel? I want to feel safe when I'm with that woman. Let me check in with myself when I'm talking to her. How do I feel? And then she can do the same for herself. And we both feel great. Okay, let's, I don't know, go on a second date or on a first date or whatever. So that would be so great when everybody could connect to that part of themselves. So ultimately, it's about self-confidence, but not self-confidence from putting another mask on. Like, you know, all the pickup artists tell you, you need to do this trick and that trick and whatever to, you know, be able to get women. No. Like, did people in the past billions of years have that? No. It's about removing the layers and coming back to our true self. That's what's important. And I know from my 20s that I had a lot of resistance towards that thinking because I was only in that one social media bubble and you only see the woman who is super superficial and they're never like, you know, they're like, I want a man with over 6 foot, more than 100K a year, whatever, like, you know, all these superficial things. And nobody's talking about emotions and stuff like that. So we're chasing these things, thinking like, oh, we need to have this. We need to go to the gym. We need to, you know, do all of that kind of stuff to be able to even attract one woman. But it's not true. The real world looks way different than the online world. But I understand that it's so hard to get out of that. And it's really important. That's why I said, like, community is the number one key. Community of real people, of people who support you on your journey and say, like, okay, no, that's not how it goes. Like, that's, like, look outside here and we have this resource and look at that and talk to that girl. Like, she's completely different than the online version of, like, whatever you're watching. So we know a lot of you will judge yourself right now probably because you're looking through the whole list and you're like, fuck, I'm not there yet. I know, because I'm the same. And it takes a lot of work and a lot of time and like to change that into self-love and not into self-hate. And it's not something which, you know, you can just change with the click of a button. But it's worth it to explore this more. And I'm here with the podcast and I want to do more content around that in the future, how my journey is going, give the knowledge and the wisdom I learned towards you. So if you're interested in how to shift from being a nice guy to becoming an authentic leader for yourself, for your family, for your community, then follow my content. And you can also follow my Instagram. I just set it up really freshly, but I'm going to post some more content there also. And yeah, let's receive a breath together really quick. So for today, I want to go through your day, but drop your mask a little bit. Try to see the difference between your true self, the calm, the confident, the one that feels safe, the one that is curious, energized, the one you've been as a kid probably at one point. And see the difference in what the layers of fear you build up over the years, how that changes your behavior and ultimately building that mask which you wear right now. So yeah, goodbye.